Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. That hymn that we just sang was written by a pastor in the late 1500s and early 1600s named Philip Nicolai. He wrote it based upon, obviously, the gospel lesson for this, the last Sunday of the church year. He wrote it in a year where disease was taking its toll across his region and especially in the city that he served. In the face of death, so much death, in fact, that over that one year, it claimed 1,400 of his own church members. That sometimes he would have to bury 30 members in a day. So much death that the church's cemetery near the parsonage made him remark in a letter to his little brother that the parsonage air smelled of the vapors of death. In the face of this death, Nicolai, Pastor Nicolai, dug into the truth of God's word, especially focusing on the last things and heaven itself. And in that time of trial, he wrote two of the greatest hymns that Lutherans and thus Christians have. The one that we sang today, and then also that favorite Epiphany hymn, O Morning Star, How Fair and Bright. That these hymns, in great strife and trial and so forth, these hymns point us to Christ and to eternal life. For no doubt in his dark days, surrounded by death and burials and everything else along with it, there was more than enough to be being said to draw attention to death and earthly struggles that God's own people needed to be reminded over and over again of eternity and heaven. This should put our present time and our present struggles into some perspective. It should also remind us of what should be occupying our time, our thoughts, our plans. That the sacred word of our God, which sustains faith in Christ, is sorely needed in these times. And as this is the last Sunday of the church year, our Lord then teaches us about the last day, of which no one knows when it will come. No one knows the day nor the hour. But that does not mean that we cannot be ready for it. The Scriptures teach that the difference between those who end up in heaven and those who end up in hell is faith in Jesus. This is plain from all of Scripture. Faith in Jesus Christ saves. Having no faith in Christ condemns. That's, in the end, the difference. So in this parable, it is plain then that the oil in the lamps is faith in Jesus. For that's what makes the difference between the wise and the foolish. Now this parable is not about pagans and Christians. It's about people that are a part of the church. Christians who endure with faith in Christ, and those who fall away without it. It's not about those who hope for Christ's return or those who do not hope for Christ's return, because all 10 virgins are waiting for the bridegroom. It's also not about also Christians who sin versus Christians who do not sin, because all Christians sin, just as all 10 virgins fall asleep. It's not just about pastors whose call it is to cry out the warning cry, here comes the bridegroom, although that is their calling to do, and that is what you hear today, that the bridegroom draws near, Christ has promised to return, and he keeps his word. But this lesson is about faith in Christ. Or perhaps even more pressingly, what Christians do to have that faith that has been given to them by God, to have that kept, and what keeps that faith going as time on this earth, this fallen creation, passes by. Now, to be clear, Christians cannot sustain faith by their desires. The foolish virgins wanted to receive the bridegroom as well. So also, it is really about what God himself then uses to sustain us in the faith, especially since faith is first and foremost a gift from him. For no one can believe or confess Jesus as Savior unless the Father reveals it to him by the Spirit. And no one then can come to the Father except by the Son. That gift of faith, how it is kept in good working order, how it is exercised to be sustained in this life of trials and struggles, how is it kept? Especially when this life gets so trying at times. God has spoken. His word tells us that by the hearing of the word, you are sustained in the one true faith by his Holy Spirit. The Spirit has given witness to the very things that God himself uses to keep our faith going, to keep it alive, to keep oil both in our lamps and in our flasks. And what he uses is his holy word. Not just Sunday mornings, but the daily feeding that he provides through his word. For each day is to be sanctified or set apart by the word of God and prayer. And that from this word of our Lord, we find other things that are based upon that word and promised through that word to keep faith alive. Something that happened long ago for you. Baptism, water, and the word. A sure foundation and also a sustaining promise. An act of God's favor towards you. Proof that God indeed loves you. Proof that God has goodwill toward you. To nurture and to sustain you as a Christian each and every day as you rise again to newness of life. Absolution. That those sins that are forgiven here on earth are also forgiven before the Father in heaven, the word of forgiveness. To deliver that forgiveness it speaks of. The word promises this is the case. And then the word then brings us comfort that grows out of that forgiveness. Comfort about our many sins. Comfort for our many fears. And then there is the supper. Bread and wine, along with the word, and thus also body and blood. That there is food for the body, but also chiefly food for the soul. The medicine of immortality given to us in this mortal life. Given to us to sustain your eternal life even as this earthly life fades. That this is what Christ our Lord has instituted. This is what he has ordained for you to receive in this earthly life in order to bless you with eternal life. To show you his good favor, his goodwill towards you, his loving care for you. But then also to keep you ready, to keep you wise for his coming by believing in him. As I said, this means daily attending to the Word. It also means gathering for the hearing of the Word and receiving the sacrament of the altar, for hearing the absolution and so forth as well. That there are those who are listening online, there are those who are listening over the radio, and this is to them. Do not deprive yourself of Christ's body and blood for long. For the Lord has promised good. Good to come to you through his body and his blood. It is good for you. And those of you who are here today, that this is your encouragement to prepare yourselves to receive God's gift with the warning that the foolish virgins, they outwardly appear just the same as the wise, that they too would have been attending church. Now all of this is to be said because this life, this earthly life and this fallen creation is not the end. It is not even the goal. Because as we heard Isaiah said, Christ comes and with him the creation of a new heaven and new earth. And what is coming in that new heavens and new earth is so good that it is meant to keep your faith and your hope going. It is meant to be used to encourage one another as that day, the final day, presses closer. That Christ the bridegroom is coming soon. Christ himself said it. As his own. As those who desire to be wise, we believe it. And believing that changes what those headlines mean for us yesterday or today or each and every day that is yet coming until Christ returns. That it is good today to end this sermon with the Spirit's words through St. Paul. God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or whether we are asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. In the name of Jesus Christ.